The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meet everybody, and welcome once again to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, tonight's guest is Brandi Williams, and she might easily tie you in knots in a way, because she's the author of a new book called Cord Magic, Tapping into the Power of String, Yarn, Twists, and Knots. Brandi's a High Wiccan priest, priestess, and ceremonial magician who's been practicing and teaching magic for about 25 years. In 1997, she founded the Seattle Pagan Scholars, and she's been serving as its director ever since. And she's also involved with the numerous organizations, including Ordo Temple Orientis and the Temple of Light and Darkness. And just as a reminder, the Para-X chat room is open to anyone, and if you're listening live, please join us. Those in the chat are free to share with comments and guest questions. So if you'd like to interact or you just want to hang out and you're not over here, come over to paraxradionetwork.com. Hi, Brandi. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Marla, and Merry Meet. I love that song. Thank you so much for starting with it.
I love it, too, although I kind of can't use it anymore because YouTube says it's got a copyright thing on it. But it's good for here, so this is always good. And everybody likes it, actually. So the book, which it fascinates me, and it was really good, teaches the reader how to twist cords for a variety of magical purposes. But cord magic might not be known to some people who are listening in. So can you please kind of give us a little background, a little history on the subject and how it's used?
Sure. And for history, I had to stop myself from just spending the whole rest of my life researching the history, because cord magic is something that everyone around the world does. Every culture, it goes so far back in history. I think we learned it from the Neanderthals. I'm really serious. I've got the receipts. So it's just a wonderful, flexible thing that that people have adopted all over the world.
It comes in, I mean, so many different ways, and I mean, there's so much to it. What drew you to cord magic to begin with?
Well, a number of years ago, a dear friend of mine, Rhea Loader, introduced me to the idea of twisting cord. It's a very old technique. This is the way that people used to make rope. Some people in the world still do, where they don't have mechanical ways of making rope. And it's a relatively easy thing to do. I love doing it in person. I'm really looking forward to when the world opens again and I can go to festivals and conferences and show people in person, because I love to take a big bag of yarn and just put it in the middle of the floor and then show people how to do this and then just let them go and figure out what kind of cords they want to make. It's really fun. So all you really need to do is to take several strands of cord and twist them together and let it fold it back on itself. And the moment that happens, it's just magical. It just goes boop, and it makes the cord. And so when Rhea showed that to me, I was just completely hooked. And I made so many cords. I would put them all over my body. I would put them on my hands and on my wrists and my around my neck and, you know, right around my waist. So I was like a walking cord magic for a while.
I like that. But, you know, and it's funny that, you know, cord magic goes back so deep and in so many aspects. And I don't know why this popped into my head when I was reading the book. When I started reading, the first thing that came to mind was I was thinking about the cat's cradle game that we used to play as kids. To your knowledge, is that just a string game, or is there some hidden magical significance to it, do you think?
Oh, yes, there definitely is magical significance to the cat's cradle. And I used to take string and work cat's cradle magic with it. I didn't touch it on the book because it's not my culture, and I try to be really sensitive and not appropriative. So it really belongs, the books really belong more to the Eastern cultures, but it's a great point, Marlon. I encourage people to go and search that out. I'll do a blog post and go find some sources for people. I'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I kept it, you know, when you're kids and you're playing it, you know, all you care about is being able to kind of put it back and forth, give it to somebody and, you know, whatever. But now that I was, you know, older and reading this, I'm thinking, there may be something more to it than just a game. So, yeah, yeah. I kind of like that. Thanks for answering that. You know, there's so many different types of cords and not spells out there. Some are quite simple. Some are like a simple charm, like a piece of red yarn, like the Kabbalah cord for protection. And then, you know, a friend of mine had a hand fasting ceremony, and oh my God, she got the most beautiful cord that I've ever seen for the ceremony. So they're made of all kinds of materials. I know you're talking about yarn, and that's probably the most common, but is there any particular fabric or, you know, whatever that would be more common than others?
Well, anciently, the natural fibers, wool and linen, were the fibers that people used in the older times. Now you can use any kind of material at all. And it's a very interesting question, because I actually stopped writing this book for a year as I came to terms with cloth and the kinds of ethical considerations there are around cloth. So one of the things I say is that you make your own choices. Everybody can make their own decisions. What I do personally, I live in a state where I can go to a farmer's market and buy a skein of wool that has the picture of the sheep that gave it.
You
know? I'm talking to the person. It's so sweet. I'm talking to the person who's raising the sheep. So I know that the sheep is being cared for and loved. And I love having that in my cords. So that's what I make my cords out of. And because you're not making a large amount of fabric, it's affordable to get some of the higher end fabrics for just this one little cord that you're making. So that's what I recommend to people, is to think about what choices you're making, and then to use basically whatever calls to you. I'm a knitter, and knitters tend to be a little, persnickety about yarn. So for a while there, I was like, wool is the only possible fat fiber. But I started knitting with acrylic and realizing that I could like put it in the washing machine. Yes, acrylic is just fine. And I kind of dove into where acrylic comes from. Acrylic is, it comes from byproducts of wood processing. So it's also coming from a plant material and something that that uses something that would otherwise not be used. So I feel pretty good about using acrylic too. So those are the two I use most often, wool and acrylic. But anyone is welcome to use any fiber at all that speaks to them, that speaks to the magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it's very crazy when you get yarn. I mean, I have a friend that I will not go with her to Joanne's, for example, because she goes to that yarn and she's done for an hour and a half, yes, picking and touching and complaining about this brand. And, you know, I mean, I haven't gotten the fever yet, but she crochets and she knits and stuff. So, you know, it would be nice to have something soft or something that didn't fray while you were using it or something. But there's a lot of nature things that you can get, like little twigs and barks, you know, that you can kind of separate and kind of braid or whatever too, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I love the image of walking into the yarn store. And I, because I'm a knitter, we call our yarn collections stash. and I long ago reached the place where my stash exceeds my life expectancy. So I had to start giving it away. But if you're a fiber artist, or if you're a person who knits or crochets, making cords is a way to use up your stash. So. I like to tell people this is a way to get the yarn out there.
Well, that's a good idea. And, you know, as we're talking, I'm thinking about, like, hair braids, you know, like people are wearing little skinny braids in their hair. That's kind of cording too, isn't it? And especially if they're using beads or yarn with along with that.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a good idea. I hadn't actually included hair braids in my list of things you could use cords for. But now that you mention it, I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to go make myself a hair cord.
Well, it makes sense because, I mean, you know, everybody usually does a little hair cord here and there because it's just kind of nice, a little braid. And even those big chunky braids that I can't even fathom how they do it, you know, with six different braid pieces and it all looks really good at the end. Three for me is enough. But yeah, I mean, there's just, it would kind of, you could do hair braids, but you could also put a charmed cord in the braid too. And then you're walking around with a charm and, you know, you don't have to carry it in your pocket or anything. It's kind of cool. It's just there. I got a chat room question right away. She says, I really love the concept of knots and twists, but I'm generally all thumbs when it comes to creating things like that. Is that somebody that has to be really, really good at crafting and things like that, or is it just relatively easy once you get the hang of it?
It's relatively easy to make a simple cord once you get the hang of it. I have videos on my YouTube page, Brandy Williams Author, that demonstrates how to make the cord. It literally only takes a minute to make a cord with the twist technique. So you can knit and you can crochet, you can make braids like you were talking about. You can do those kinds of things, and that's sort of crafty stuff. But just to make a simple cord, really anybody whose hands move can do it. And I say that because my husband's hands don't move anymore, so I just have him hold one end of the cord and I make the cord for him. But if you can move your fingers, you can make a cord.
And it's kind of like twisting, because I was looking at that when I was reading the book, and then I remember that somebody sent me a whole bunch of the red Kabbalah cords, the bracelets. And I thought, oh, I got to go look at them, see if they're braided or you know, what it was, because I haven't looked at them in a while. And I opened it up, and it's actually, to me, and I'm not very good in this, but it just looks like a piece of red yarn, but it's not a tight red yarn. It kind of opens up a little bit. You can kind of maybe see through it a little bit. So that's, I guess it maybe at one time was twisted or not, but it just seems very open and just really easy. And, you know, then you just tie it around in a little knot and wear it. So, I mean, all these things can be so simple, but I bet some of them can be quite complex at all. Also.
You know, and it's very interesting that you have looked at the construction of the cord, because when I say cord and thread, almost everything that we're using, the yarn, embroidery floss, it's actually several strands together. They've already had a twist in them. So that's something that I talk about in the book that we take into account. So you almost never find like a single strand because they're so thin.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting. Yeah. But yeah, you can, you know, if you're really not feeling like you can twist, you can take a bulky yarn, right, and just and cut a length of that and put your intention in it and wear it, wrap it around your wrist or wear a pendant on it or put it in your pocket. So, like you say, a single strand can also be a piece of cord magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything can be magical if we do it the right way. So, I mean, that's kind of good. But I think sometimes before I opened the book, I thought, well, maybe these are going to be really difficult things. They're not going to, you know, you're going to have to braid, you're going to have to twist. I mean, it just kind of, without even looking, I thought, oh boy, this is going to be good. but in actuality, yeah, take a snip of yarn and tie a knot in it, you know, wear, put it on your wrist and do all the magical stuff to it before you do that. And voila, it works. It works really well. So it's not that anybody has to be particularly, I don't know, crafty to do that. Anybody can.
Yeah, one of the things that I really I sort of stand for, one of the things I really love is to make magic accessible to people. It doesn't have to be complicated. You can just know a few things and grab a few materials and make magic. And I know that there is another book coming out. Llewellyn has a book coming out later this year, which is about fiber magic, which goes more in depth into making crafts and using knitting and crocheting So if people are interested, they can also go investigate that. I've forgotten the title. I'm trying to look it up. But if you get really, you know, if you want to be more crafty with the course, you can totally do that. But my approach to magic is just to explain it and make it simple and then give people choices and then sort of unleash creativity.
Mm-hmm. And if you let yourself create, I mean, just don't focus on something that you think you have to do a certain way. If you just kind of let yourself go, things get creative very wonderfully.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's one important thing for people who are making cords for magic is that when the cord has served its purpose, it needs to be unmade and released, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. If you, it's an important thing, I think, as a person who does magic to know how to undo your magic, how to end it when it's over. And also to keep track of it. I just made a cord at Lammas. So I went out to my Blackberry patch and I made a cord. And then I put it in a bag and I labeled it Lammas 2021. So, you know, 3 years from now, I don't pick this up and go, what is this cord? So that's an important thing to do too. But it's important to know how to unmake it. With fiber, though, it's simple. All you really have to do is cut it with the scissors. So then you've released the energy, and then you get to figure out what to do with the fiber. What I do, I take it to Goodwill because Goodwill has this recycling where they take cloth that's no longer able to be used, and they put it in the system to be made into rags. And so that's where I put my spent fiber, if it's just a fiber like acrylic or wool. If it's gold, I recycle that. I use it myself.
Yeah, gold kind of stands out. It looks pretty, no matter what, if you mix it or stand alone. Yeah. I think I just want to mention that your book is full of how-to things, not only just words, but illustrations as well. And there are those who might be listening in that are interested in twists and knots and cords just for decorative purposes, for projects or crafts or even to wear as jewelry. So they can get a lot out of this book as well. But explain the difference between crafted cords and magical cords.
Well, that's a really good distinction. When I was looking for examples of how to explain how to make the twist, it takes a minute to show it, and it takes a lot of words to explain it if I can't show it, right? Which is why there's so many pictures. I went on YouTube, and I was looking for examples, and I found that humans love teaching each other. That's what one of the things YouTube is for. And so I found that people were teaching how to make rope. And then also there are crafters who teach each other how to make cords just like the ones I make in order to just hang pendants off of them. So people who make jewelry for a living. So they do the work. They do the physical thing. It's with a different intention. So it's with an intention to make something pretty and to help them sell the pendant and help people wear the pendant. With the magical cord, when we make the cord at the beginning of the process, we think about what it is we're making the cord for and who we're making it for, and then set that intention. And then every design choice that we make feeds into that intention. So how many strands I use, what the colors are, what direction I twist it, what inclusions I have, all of those things go into the intention of the cord. And then when it's done, it's holding the magic as well as being beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the more I think about this, the more we're talking about it. Now I remember, and God, I'm so old, but when I was a kid, there was all these kids had this kind of, it was like a keychain, but it was all, it was tiny, thin plastic bits that were like braided together, maybe 7 or 8. And that was what they put their keys on. And it was kind of a craft that everybody learned how to do, except me. But I remember that because they were all like multicolored and they were all braided and they were braided in such a way that they created a pattern. And I don't know if anybody that's listening even has a clue of what I'm talking about, but it was something way back then that every kid had to have, you know, like every kid used to have, a turquoise Lindy pen because everybody was writing in turquoise. So you had to have one, right? And the same thing with these keychains, they were just somehow knitted together, and they were really neat. So I'm bringing back memories of all these things that we didn't think had any magic purpose or anything, or not even, you know, we didn't thinking about cords. It was just like, oh, look, this is cute. Let's have one kind of thing. So
friendship cords is still really popular among kids. And now that you're mentioning it, I kind of remember all of the things I did as a kid. You'd go to the store and there would be kits. And we can still find kits in like places like Joann's that are for kids to make friendship cords and to make simple, like, you know, looms to make pot holders and that kind of thing. And I'm a sucker for all of those. I just collect them. So anything that makes, turns fiber into something that that can carry intention, I love this stuff.
Yeah, like those rag rugs that they make, you know, like a kitchen rug from just pieces of old cloth and braiding them together and stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's things that you just, I didn't even think about any of this until I opened your book, and then all of these things come flooding back, which is a really good thing. Somebody in chat room said, sewing is making knots.
You know, it's a way to think about it, actually. Sewing does, stitching can carry intention. So if you're embroidering something, you can put your intention in it. I know people who do elaborate embroideries that are beautiful, sort of magical talismans. I think stitching can be thought of in the same sort of vein as any kind of fiber magic or cord magic.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that if you're using them for magical purposes, whether it's material, whatever it is, if you don't like it, suppose you have it there and you said, well, I'm going to use this up. That's not going to work. You're going to have to like what you're using as the tools, right?
That's right. And like you said, it can really be addictive to go into a fiber store and work with the tools, because they're just so, they call, right? The colors are so vibrant, and many stores line them up in like rainbows. Here's all the yellows, here's all the reds. And then also the textures are so different. Some of them are so soft, and some of them have this really lovely lanolin, like the wools that come from sheep, have this wonderful scent and wonderful feel. So yeah, you can definitely get tactile with it. And it's something I think all fiber people who work with fiber really love the feel of the material. Yeah, I think it's true that you really do need to love the material in order to make magic with it.
And if you were going to make something like something really rough magician wise, I mean, to just something that really needed to be done, a hard kind of thing, you would use a kind of maybe a leather or something rough. And then if you want to do something for whatever on the opposite end, you're going to get something that's really soft and cushy. And so, yeah, depending on the spell should depend on what type of material you use.
Yeah, that's right. I took some of my stash, since I did have so much yarn and I had to move it on. I donated it to a group of women who make blankets for people in hospitals. And that's a kind of magic. It's a kind of intent. They're thinking about children and old people and people who are ill, getting these blankets and then really being comforted by them. And so I love that. I love that you can take that intent and put it into the material, and then it's so, you know, then it's so soft, and then they really adore it. And then as you were saying hard material, I was thinking about some of the bracelets I've seen that are made of really hard nylon, and it's very stiff. So that would definitely, if you wanted to restrain something, that would be something that you could do. Although I'm afraid I'm one of those people who tends to like be relentlessly positive.
No, that's fine. But,
yeah.
That's not ever a bad thing. Now, the book is broken down into three parts. You've got cord magic basics, you've got cord magic design, and finally cord magic projects. And you have a few chapters under each section. So you've got a really good chapter on purpose, and that there are five specific areas of practical magic that just about covers it all. And that chapter includes a cord design for each of the five areas, but also space for creating your own design. So let's talk just a teeny bit about purpose, because if you're doing it for magical reasons, purpose goes way hand in hand with intent, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. It's a good idea to know why you're making a cord. Now, I gave an example just now of making a cord on a particular day. And my intention was basically to capture the energy of the day. So you can approach this with a light heart and be kind of whimsical about it, too. But then right now I'm crafting a cord that I'm using for my husband who has health issues. And so that's a pretty serious intent. So I'm taking my time figuring out what cords I want to use. I'm breaking out the really good Lithuanian hand-dyed, naturally dyed yarn for this one. And I'm carefully writing out the intents, thinking about how many strands I want to use with it. And when I finish the design, I'm going to go down and make it with him.
Oh, that's going to be really good. I mean, there's just so many uses. And you know, just like with any spell, if you're not having that strong intention, if you're not feeling what you're doing, if you're doing it just kind of by rote, it's not going to work. And that's something that people kind of forget. Well, I'm just going to do this spell, but you have to put emotion in it, whether it's good or strong or bad, you know, depending on whatever you're up to. Intent and purpose is the thing that makes spells work, and it'll work really well with the cords, is just like with any other spell.
Yes, I think you're right. Intent, purpose, and emotion. I mean, with the emotion of the llama's cord, I was enjoying the heat of the day and watching the blackberries ripen. And then with my husband, I have the intention of love and of helping him to retain his health as long as he can. So those things are very powerful to put into any kind of charm.
Yeah, I think people realize that we do have a great deal of power if we just believe in ourselves and do it for the right reasons. I think it works. Somebody in the chat just wrote about some lovely Chinese knot art. You think there's magic in that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's so much knot. Actually, when I say cord magic, people automatically think that knot magic, because knot magic is so popular. And definitely, you can get some very elaborate and beautiful knots. I decided to do two or three knots, and so you'll find in the book that I have descriptions of the knots and how to make them and ways to use them, when you might decide that you're using those specific knots. But this is something that you can get books and books and books describing these very, very elaborate knots, right? So I just did a few, because like I said, I'm the come on in, it's fun experiment kind of writer. But you can definitely like drill down and explore some of the ways that people have used knots if that's something that calls you.
Yeah, well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about knots a little bit further. But as we're talking now, I remember, okay, here I go again. Girl Scouts, 100 years ago, we learned knots. And the only one that I could really get very well was called a square knot. And now I'm thinking, do all knots have some kind of magic to them? You know, in the way they're tied and everything, that just popped into my head now, that maybe that right over left, left over right thing, you know, maybe that's a little hocus pocusy sometimes. I don't know, but it's good. I mean, there's just, like I said, there are people now, there's somebody in the chat room that's probably worrying about her book budget now, because this is a really, really good book, to be honest. But I like the subhead about tapping into the power of string and yarn and twists and knots. And, I mean, you don't have to be a witch to tap into power. You know, we can all tap into our own power. And that works. And sorry, I just got distracted because the one I just mentioned that's worrying about her book budget just put a scary face in the chat room, like a grumpy face.
Well, you know,
in a good way.
You've had a really good insight here. I could have said, you know, spells for string, but I wanted to make this accessible to anyone who wanted to pick it up. And it's really not just about, I'll tell you how to do this and you go follow the procedure. I really wanted to give people ideas about how to go about it and how to make our own decisions about what we're going to, what meanings we're going to assign and intentions. So yeah, tapping into the power, it's our power. And a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of material can unleash an incredible amount of magic.
And we all have it in us. And, you know, like I said, don't, you know, some people worry, well, if I do that and it's kind of like magical and maybe it's like a spell, does that make me a witch? you know, and no, I mean, you know, it can if you want it to, but it, no, I mean, you know, you don't get the stamp on your forehead if you do that. I mean, it's just another way of using your own power. And, you know, it's like people that think they don't do spells every day. Well, you do, you know, you pray for something, if you ask for something, or if somebody is driving too slow in front of you and you're late and you're yelling at them, well, you just cursed him. You just did magic. They don't realize that. So we're all magical in some ways, some of us more purposefully than others, but we all have the power. We were given that gift, and you know, it's here to be used. And that's why I think this book is so great, because it's for everybody. It's not just, you know, it's mainstream, basically, if you want to look at it that way. And it's hard that sometimes we cross into mainstream, you know, sometimes we wish we could, but this is absolutely perfect. So, like I said, when we come back from break, I want to talk about knots, because, you know, they just aren't just a shoelace annoyance. So, everybody, don't get your knickers in a knot. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Don't go away. There's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages.
Hey, everyone, it's Marla. If you like tonight's episode of Stirring the Cauldron and the archive podcast as well, take a look at the show's YouTube channel and check out the dozens of shows that are there just waiting to be heard. New shows are added each week, and while you're there, why not subscribe? It's free. And if you click on that tiny little bell icon at the top of the page, you'll be notified when new shows are available. Just go to youtube.com and then type in Stirring the Cauldron Para X, and the link will appear. Just like magic.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shine, psychic medium, Dark Nola Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Okay, my guest tonight is Brandi Williams, and we're talking about cord magic. And before I mentioned that we're going to the break, I want to talk about knots. So you can't make a knot without a cord or material of some kind. So knot magic is part of cord magic, but there's a major difference between the two as far as magical workings, right?
Well, you know, I think that you're right, that every knot needs a cord. And so thinking about what the material is that you're going to make the knot in is the first part of making a knot magic. But a lot of people, when I say cord magic, they immediately think about knot magic, and they think about the nine knot spell. And so that's the one that almost all witches know. Because it was Ray Buckland made that spell. And I'm a Llewellyn writer. They gave me permission to reproduce it, so it's in the book as well.
Yes.
So I was very excited.
Yeah, and you know, I've talked about the Witch's Ladder here and there, and so it's kind of familiar to people. But it's just kind of let me get to this other question, then I'll keep with mine.
Not yet.
she said there's a craft called I'm not gonna pronounce it right. Kyutu. Where you put the shed dog or cat fur into miniature animals, and she's wondering if that's fabric magic. Would it be considered fabric magic?
Oh, I definitely think it's fiber magic. Anytime you take something and put it into something else like that, and people do that. They will knit with their cat's hair or their dog's hair. It's a way to make a bond with your animal. And so I think it's a lovely area to explore.
Yeah. And another question. How about sailor's knots, she asks. Did they also use them to ward off storms and troubles at sea?
Yes, and what sailors used to do is to knot, make knots when there was wind, and then take the cord with them out to sea, and then when they needed wind, to open the knot, to unknot the knot, to bring a rain or bring a wind. And I do that with rain. I do that with all kinds of weather, actually. I will go out in an eclipse or in a rainstorm and make knots. And then when I want that magic in whatever I'm doing, I can open the knot to unleash that magic. And it's, yeah, sailor's knots are some of the oldest magics that we've got.
Wow. This is getting more interesting as we go. All right.
I'm an out geek.
No, that's good. That's good, because I want to hear this all. Knots move energy. They contain energy. They store energy. And I don't know why, but in my head, knot magic might be more powerful because somehow I see a knot being tighter or having more strength than maybe a cord or a twist, and maybe I'm wrong. And maybe also because knots, when you get something knotted that you don't want knotted, it's almost hell to undo. You know, so yeah. I mean, it's that tight. So am I kind of off base here? Are knots, because fabric and I mean, cords also hold energy and store energy and all that stuff, so, and move it. So I don't know why I'm thinking that knots might be even stronger.
You know, knots are a very, very strong magic. But when you think about it, the cord, as you're twisting it, it is a kind of knot. You are making that, you're making that turn. You're turning that energy into it. So I think that they are powerful in and of themselves. But knots definitely do augment the power of whatever you're doing. But they have kind of a specific and pointed purpose. So I think you read out the list. A knot can restrain something. It can stop something from happening. Or it can, with the sailor's knot, where you open the knot to open a wind, it can release something that's been stored. You said something about the witch's ladder too, and I said the nine knot spell. A lot of people think that they're the same thing, but there's actually another way of looking at the witch's ladder, which I wrote in the book, and I'm very proud of, actually, because I went and looked at the witch's ladder as it was found in England, in Somerset. And it was a cord with feathers in it. So it wasn't really knots, and there weren't nine. There were feathers that were placed in the cord. So I gave an instruction for making the witch's ladder and putting feathers in it and how to use it. So once you've made the cord, you can hang it and then start at the bottom and walk your fingers up the feathers like you're walking up a ladder, and then throw your hand up and release the intention. And so that's another way of looking at the witch's ladder. I'm really proud of that one.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard that. I like that. And you know, people are listening, but you have so many exercises throughout the book. And like I said, you know, many, many, many illustrations on how to twist, how to knot, and all the rest. And you also have information on things like a rainbow color palette, or elemental and planetary color palettes. Let's talk about colors and how they work.
Colors are so personal. And I wanted to say that you said I have many exercises, and I did try to put a lot of material in the book, but you can just pick one and do it. You're gonna, you know, you don't have to feel overwhelmed. You don't have to do every single thing in the book. Just pick one that you like and get yourself started, right? So with color, there are traditional meanings. There are ceremonial meanings for colors. There are various witchcraft lines have different color meanings for the elements and the planets. And so what I did was I put one example in the book to get you started, and then I just put in a blank template and said, look, this is red. What's red to you? Red is blood. Red is life. Red is power. You know, that's my in meanings, but you can decide what it means to you. And then once you've made that list, you can then use the color in a chord. So I'm doing a health cord, and health is green for me. So I'm using a lot of green in my health cords.
So, yeah, okay. And some people would think green was money, but it's what you think it is, right? I mean, you know,
right.
Like white could be anything because it kind of blends in with anything. Red, love, pink, oh, you know, all kinds of things. But it's I mean, because we do have lists about this color works for this and this color works for that. But you know what? That's kind of a basis thing. But if you see brown as the most beautiful color in the world and sunshine and lollipops with brown, then you'd go brown. You know, I mean, it's not what somebody else wrote that it is. So I think free will and creative thought works a great deal.
Oh, yeah. Brown will mean something different to a farmer than it will to a cook, right? Because brown is the manure that you're putting in your soil, and it's bringing fertility. And then for a cook, the term is golden brown and delicious. You want your food to be brown.
Yeah.
But if you're using it as clothes, it's like, oh, well, that's kind of drab, you know? So it really depends on the context, right? And brown is a great example too, because brown is the new orange. It's very hard to find orange anything, orange fabric. It's very hard to find meanings for orange. Basically, it's like, well, there's the one plant, there's the one thing we have, it's an orange, you know? So brown is in the orange family. And so I did a lot of work with brown in explaining how to work with color. And I do a lot of brown in my own cord magic.
Yeah. Well, to me too, cord is just, I mean, brown is very natural. You know, it's bark of a tree, it's whatever. And then, you know, like you have a chapter called Chords for Specific Times and Places and Times. And so when you're doing chord magic, I mean, you know, explain to somebody, like, suppose they had to make a spell for attraction. Me, I'm not big on love spells, but attraction will do. you know, what would you suggest? I mean, what time, what place, what colors kind of thing? I mean, color, I guess, is, like we said, it's personal choice. But, you know, it's very important to know what you're doing when you're doing it and thinking it out before you start doing it, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think for attraction, you're looking at something new, making something to start. So you might do something in dawn or in the morning because that's the beginning of the day, or you might do something in springtime. And one of the things I love about time chords is that I can take a chord and make a springtime chord, and then I can wear it in winter when I want to do an attraction ritual or make an attraction chord, and then have that energy that I'm putting into the chord. So I have the springtime energy. And this is what I did with my Lammas chord. I made my Lammas chord on Lammas, and my cousin couldn't meet on that day because, you know, but we often have to schedule, like, on weekends or when everybody's off. So when we were able to get together, I wore my Lammas chord and I had the energy of the day and I brought it into the circle.
Mm. See, I'm just looking here at something that's really interesting because you have in the cord magic kit. Now, let's talk about a cord magic kit. Should everybody have a kit, or, you know, can you just kind of do it a la carte?
It's a fancy name for get a bag and put the stuff you're going to need in it and then take it with you. And I just did that with the I'm using the Lammas cord as an example because I just made this. They've got a pretty little rainbow bag. If you go to my Instagram, you'll see a picture of it. And I just put in the colors I knew I was going to need, and an S-hook, which is a way to hang on to a cord, and a little scissors. And then I took it out into the blackberry, not in, but next to the blackberry bushes, and tied one end to the blackberries so that I could make the cord. So that's all that a kit is. But also I was thinking about when I travel sometimes. There was one time I was in Minnesota, in St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and there was a tremendous thunderstorm. And I said, oh, I really want to capture this. And then I was tossing my luggage for anything that was like a fiber that I could grab and make a knot in. So I said, you know what? If I had a kit, I could capture exactly what I wanted. So that's why I thought about making a kit.
And then I'm just thinking about this too, different sizes and shapes of what you're going to make cords out of. And I just was looking and I see embroidery floss. Now that's really thin, really, really thin. Yeah. And then you have big clunky things, you know, too. So does the size of the material matter, depending on the spell, maybe?
I have used more embroidery floss than anything else because it comes in so many colors. I got the DMC card that has like 300 different colors on it, and
wow.
Then I kind of picked which one I want. It's just, you could really geek out on the embroidery floss. And the thing is, they're so inexpensive, right? So you can afford to get lots and lots of colors. Now, each one of those skeins of yarn is only, or the skeins of embroidery floss, they're only going to make one or two cords, but that's all you really need it for. So I just love it because I love to experiment with it. I tend to stay away from really bulky yarns. If I'm knitting something for someone, I might use a bulky yarn. But this cords are things that are going to be on you or on or being carried around. And so being thinner is actually a advantage for a cord.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not familiar with embroidery floss because I'm not. But is it really – all right, compare it to dental floss. Is it – thicker, thinner, what?
Oh, it's definitely thicker. To geek out on the fiber again, each embroidery floss thread is actually composed of six separate strands. Like I said, it's already twisted. So it's already been made thicker. So it's actually not so thin. And when people embroider, they'll take it and split it and take one of those tiny, tiny thin threads, you know, and use that to embroider with. So it's actually not as thin as you might think it is.
So mentioning embroidery now, is embroidery kind of like knotting and cording and stuff? I mean, because you are kind of sort of knotting when you embroider, right?
You're definitely going to have to make a knot at the end when you finish the stitch. And I think one of the listeners who talked in the chat mentioned that sewing is stitching. I think that's definitely true for embroidery, that you're making a line in fabric as you're making the design. And then at the end, you're going to knot it so it doesn't come undone. So those are great opportunities to set intention. You've got a design that you're making. You've got the color of the thread that you're using, the embroidery floss. So you can choose the color for the intention. And then when you have finished and you make the knot, you can set that intention. So it's a great way to make a little charm.
Well, what about crochet? That's sort of naughty, you know. Well, it can be, can it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Crochet is one long knot. That's what a crochet actually is. As a knitter, I do different things. Knitters have different kinds of patterns that they use, and I'm hoping Opal Luna. I looked her up. Opal Luna wrote a book called Fiber Magic about yarn, about crocheting and knitting. So I'm hoping that she'll go into some of what those kinds of things can be used for. But as a knitter, I learned to crochet something that was like a continuous cord. It's called an I cord that is a tube. So that's definitely something that's like incredibly magical. And knitters use it to put in purses as the string, the drawstring that's going to draw something closed, that kind of thing. It's like an edging, but it can also just be, I don't think I did it. I don't think I put it in the book. I thought about putting instructions about how to make an I cord in the book. And I thought, yeah, it's a little complicated. I'm trying to be really simple, but definitely I cord would be something really fun to go and learn, to put into your magic.
So lots of things are magical, and we don't know it, you know, everyday things. And I think that's kind of interesting. Now, one thing that we should also mention, because we talked about undoing a spell or a cord or a knot, but also in the beginning, let's talk about blessing and consecrating our materials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you pick up an embroidery floss, you've walked into the store and lots of other people have picked up that embroidery floss. You take it home and then cleanse it with a little bit of water and a little bit of intention to move any energy that other people have put into that cord, you know, into that thread, away from it. So somebody picked it up and said, oh, I don't like this color, and threw it back. That's what you brought home with you. You want to move that piece off so that you can put, it's clean, and then you can put your own energy into it. And then in consecrating, you can, consecrating is pretty simple. You do the consecration as you're doing the magic, but you can also wave some incense over the fiber and say, I'm using this fiber for magical purposes, and sort of lay that sort of sound like base paint and base coat, like a paint base coat of magic. You set that already into the fiber.
And I'm thinking too, also, that you can take the fiber, and if you have like scented soaps, like a patchouli soap or a rose soap or something, you could put the yarn in that and let it absorb the odor, and it will take some of the things that the smell, the aroma has to do with. It can pick it up, and that's kind of consecrating itself, isn't it?
Yeah, and now that you mention it, I thought about using a bowl of water. I did this in Practical Magic for Beginners. I talked about how to use scent when you don't use fire, because that's important when you're, say, working in a hospital. You can't light a candle. There are lots of places you can't light candles. But you can take a bowl of water, and you can put a little oil in it. And so you could also use that as a consecration for your fiber. You could put a little drop of rose oil in a cup of water and put your fiber in it and overnight, and then it would pick up a little bit of the scent.
Yeah. Let's talk about stones, using stones and things like jewelry in your cords. How do you pick and choose from that?
You want to get a stone that has a big enough hole that you can work with it, because it's going to go on the fiber in one way or another. So what I do is I take one of the strands that I'm making into a cord, and I put my stones in that, and then I twist them into the twist itself. But you can also just put it, if you've got a stone that's got a big enough hole, you can use the entire cord and put the bead on the cord. Or you can use a hook, and like with a pendant, you can put a cord through the finding of a pendant and hang something from it. So those are the ways to use stones. And I really love doing that. I love putting inclusions, pretty sparkly beads and crystals, check plastic crystals to really spark up the cord.
And I've seen people that take tumbled stones, and then they'll take very, very fine wire and kind of knot all around the stones in making jewelry or a little pendant or something. So that's kind of the same magic as well. They're using the stone. They're using wire that you can bend and not cut right through your fingers forever. There's just so many possibilities out there when we're talking about this.
Yeah, you're wildly creative, Marla. You're thinking all these great things to do. That's a wonderful idea to look at wire work with beads as a way of making cord magic. That's lovely.
Yeah, well, you can make a cord out of wire, I guess, or just about anything. I mean, like we mentioned, dental floss if need be. If you really had to use something.
You have to.
I bet there are people, maybe dark magicians or something, that will take hair from a brush and make a cord out of that and then use it for their dastardly purposes or maybe even for a lovely purpose. I don't know. But
I had a friend who, we're all witches and we're all friends, and she said, can I borrow your hairbrush? And I handed it to her, and then she pulled my hair out of it and handed it back to me and said, here. I said, yeah, thanks for the warning. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh, yeah,
right, you have to be careful about that.
Yeah, we do. But when you're amongst friends, that's one thing. Because I know I was brushing the cat earlier. I got this new kind of brush for him, and it collects all the hair. And then you push a button, and poof, it pops out. And I thought, there's a way to knit with this or do something with this, instead of throwing it out. I mean, you use it, and it's, really, really cute. You've got a website that has lots of things there. I mean, there's so much to cover that we can't squeeze everything into one show. But I think we've kind of covered a lot. We'll talk about your website. Where is it? Where can they find it? Because you've got books and videos on and your YouTube stuff in there, and you have a blog, and you have a whole lot. So point them in the right direction.
Sure. So if you say Brandy Williams author in your web browser, you can pull up my all of my outlets, brandywilliamsauthor.com. So that's the website that has a blog, and I do have links to my books, lots and lots of rituals, and just lots of information. And then my YouTube channel is Brandy Williams Author, and you can find it. It links off my my webpage. And Instagram, I'm on Instagram as Brandy Williams Author. I'm on Facebook too, but I'm focusing on Instagram right now, so I'm not as active on Facebook, but you can find me there too as Brandy Williams Author.
Yeah, you're all over the place, and the YouTubes are like kind of show and tell, so people can watch you do things, right?
'Cause
Some people can read and look, but sometimes they like to see too, so they know.
Oh, that's exactly it. Yeah. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I made a video that was an invocation to Hygieia, the goddess of health. And I'm very proud of that video. And I did, for a solid year, I did the invocation to Hygieia just for general health. So I try to put rituals and things that will be helpful to people on the YouTube channel. And then with Cord Magic, I definitely wanted to show people how to make a twist, because it's so much easier to show than it is to explain in words. So I encourage people to go look at it. And I made them short. They're like a minute.
So twists basically are just exactly what they say. I mean, you know, we think of cords that are braided and everything, but a twist is just you have a piece of yarn and then you just twist that into what you need it for, right? I'm really dumb about this stuff. I'm just asking.
Oh, no, you're not. No. You're not at all. You've been so intelligent and so creative. But it's a new idea to people. We've really lost it. This is a very old thing. But, you know, we have now, we can go and buy yarn and buy string and rope. So we've lost how to do it. But it's pretty simple. You take, basically, you want three strands, not just one. You really kind of want three, because you need several of them to interact with each other. You anchor one end. You twist it. So you basically turn it in your hand, so that it goes twist, 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 and then you fold it back on itself, and it spins against itself, and then you knot the two ends that have come together, and you have a cord. So that's a verbal description. I've got a longer description in the book, but if you go to my YouTube channel, I can it demonstrates exactly how to do that, and it really does take like a minute, and it's so much fun, because when you fold the yarn back on itself and let it go, it just, boom, it makes this twist. You're like, oh, that was magic.
To me, it would be, because my twist would probably be a knot that I couldn't get open. It just, you know, not that I don't have little faith in me, but, you know, I'm not.
Susan, you're your friend.
Yeah, I'm not that crafty, so it's just kind of interesting. All right, well, you know, come back sometime, because there's just so much to talk about and so many interesting things, and it keeps your imagination going, and I've really enjoyed your book, so thank you for writing it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let's thank everybody for listening in tonight, because now all those things are going on in their heads, and what can they twist and what can they not, and what, this is all good. And until next time, everybody, blessed be, and merry meet again. Good night.
This has been another edition of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for another great guest and more fun. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2009.
You have been listening to the Para-X Radio Network.